It says in Hebrews 2:9 that Jesus tasted death, meaning he experienced the full depth of death, whatever death really is, because we won't experience it. Oh, this old body dies, but to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday, and thank you for tuning in as we begin a new week of Bible study. We're currently airing Pastor Bill's series, Divided Church, from the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians. Pastor's study continues today with the message he's entitled, Remember Me. Now let's join the study.
If you're visiting with us for the first time, we are doing a study through the epistle of 1 Corinthians. We are in chapter 11 this morning. We're going to be beginning in verse 17, a very, very familiar text this morning about the Lord's Supper. I pray, though, that the doctrine of deadly familiarity doesn't set into your hearts this morning, saying that you're so familiar with the Lord's Supper that you don't catch the gist of what God wants you to get. So this morning, remember that these chapters 11 through 14 are talking about these questions that Paul is going to answer from the letter that was written to him from the church at Corinth about head coverings, you know, and the Lord's Supper, the spiritual gifts, meaning, of course, public worship. Remember that Jesus our Lord gave only two ordinances to the church. First is water baptism, and of course, the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper or communion, as we call it. When we come to this table at the end of this service, I want you to remember something. Jesus, when he says, do this in remembrance of me, when he says, remember me, that is a command. But you know what? It's a command, but it's such a tender, loving command, isn't it? I mean, you know, when somebody has died for you and paid the penalty of your sin and is coming back for you, that's preparing a place in heaven for you, surely we can remember him. Amen. And that's what he's saying here. So as we come to the table, he says, don't forget me. Don't forget all that I've done for you. Beginning this morning in verse 17, talking about the Lord when he said, remember me. It says, now in giving these instructions, or these commands actually, I do not praise you, Paul says. And here's the reason. Since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Is that a sad commentary for any church? I mean, here's a church that is so messed up. I mean, it's just a truth. They're a depraved church. The culture has taken over them instead of them taking over the culture. There's sexual immorality. There's incest. They're suing one another. There's all kinds of sin that Paul is correcting. And here they are. Paul says, and here's the problem. He says, when you come together, it's not for the best. It's for the worst. In other words, when you meet together in your services, they are doing more harm than good. How would you like to belong to a church like that? When you leave, you go, man, I am more messed up than when I walked into the door. And so he says here, for first of all, when you come together as a church, now he's talking not a building, we're the church, amen? Okay, so he's talking about the body of Christ. He says, I hear that there are divisions. That word means I hear that they're ripping apart, that you're tearing one another apart there in the assembly. He says, and in part, I believe it. The church at Corinth, like some churches today, they are called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, koinonia, that deep intimacy, that communion, that sharing. And yet they were not only out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, they were out of fellowship with each other. That division, that sin that God hates, and he does hate those who sow discord in the church. The Lord's Supper, loved one, proclaims our unity, our oneness. We're the family of God. You know, when you think about division at communion, think about that. Division at the Lord's Supper, is that the saddest thing that you can ever hear? And that's what Paul is saying. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew 12:25, he said, every house, every city divided against itself cannot stand. It's impossible for that to happen. Verse 19, for there must be also factions, or literally heresies, which mean departing from God's word, factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. So obviously some there at the Church of Corinth, they were thinking they were the approved ones. You know, listen, division, discord, tearing one another apart is like a magnet, man. A division is a magnet that attracts the unapproved, not the approved. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it could be a share group like today, it could be us this morning at the church, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others, and one is hungry, and another is, what's that word? Can you believe that word's in the Bible? Are they referring to a lost person? They're talking to the believers at Corinth. He says, you know what? He said, you take supper ahead of others, you're making a pig out of yourself, is what Paul is saying. And he says, not only that, one is starving, probably a slave. You know, they're poor, they don't have any money. And he says, and another is drunk, meaning they're probably so inebriated that they literally have to be carried out of the assembly because they're wasted. That is a sad, unacceptable behavior, and that's what Paul is saying. Remember that the early church, they had what they would call a love feast or the agape feast and so forth before celebrating communion. They'd all get together. They would celebrate their oneness that they have in Christ, and they would communicate and talk and have a wonderful time together. It's kind of like our potlucks today when everybody brings something to share. But instead of sharing here, there were some that were hungry. They didn't give them the food that they hoarded. This is mine. It's not yours. You didn't bring anything. You don't have anything. And some of them were wasted. They were literally drunk. Boy, there was a lot of problems in that church, wouldn't you say? The church, remember, is 4 years old when Paul writes this letter. That's why he says you're babes in Christ. You're immature. You're acting like mere men, which means you're acting like a lost person. Now, look what he says in verse 22. He says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Look at this statement. Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? Meaning that word nothing means they don't even have a place to live. They don't even have a home. They're poor. He says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? Paul says, oh no, I don't praise you at all. He's saying, you know what? Love, Christian love doesn't act like that. Amen? And that's what he's saying. You know, when I read that, I go, man, what a word. He says, do you despise? If you look up that word in the Greek, you know what it means? It means to look down upon as worthless. He says, do you look down upon as worthless the church of the living God? And do you humiliate and put to shame your brothers and your sisters? That's what Paul is saying. This is what was happening at the Lord's Supper. Paul says, you know what? If you're going to act like this, he says, don't even attend this meeting. I'd rather that you just stay home. I mean, listen, can you imagine if we had a big love feast, an agape feast, a potluck? And here we are, we're all in the Koinonia Cafe. Remember, Koinonia means fellowship, sharing, intimacy with the Lord and with each other. And here we are, you know, everybody brings their own food, and there's some that come in, they don't have anything. And so, you know, they're sitting there, and maybe 50 people having their chicken wings, you know, dipping in that sauce and so forth, and, you know. And you got a brother or sister over there that's just looking at you, and their mouth is drooling and saying, what's the name of that place? What's the hot wing place? Buffalo wings, is that it? Hot wings? I don't know, I never go there. But nevertheless, whatever is a good place to get wings, they're going, is that from there? And you hand them a little carrot and say, here, dip that in the ranch. You see, that's really loved one is what was happening right there. Now, look what Paul states now. These are some of the most glorious words in the entire Bible. They give us more information about the Lord's Supper than any other place, okay? Look what Paul says. He tells the church at Corinth. He tells the 21st century church this morning. He says this, for I received from whom? The Lord, very important, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Do you see what Paul just said? He said, Jesus himself gave me the direct revelation about the Lord's Supper. Every word that I'm speaking to you is coming directly from Christ himself. You remember when Paul was called in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, when Jesus himself appears unto Paul, who is persecuting the church. And then Paul, of course, is Jesus himself saves Paul. And then remember what happened? He went into Arabia after that for 3 years. He separated himself from everyone. And it says that when he was in Arabia, that's Galatians chapter 1, 17 and 18, I believe, that when he was in Arabia, listen to what happened. It says in Galatians 1, 11, Paul says, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel, meaning the good news, which was preached by me, is not according to man. He says, it's not of human origin. I didn't make it up or invent it. There's not one trace of human wisdom in what I'm telling you. That's what he is saying there in the verse that we're reading right now. He goes on and he says, listen, for I neither received it, meaning the good news, the gospel, from man, nor was I taught it. In other words, the other apostles didn't come and say, hey, Paul, you know, come and let's explain everything to you. No, they didn't happen at all. But it came through the revelation, the revealing, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So listen, Paul said, Jesus himself taught me all the gospel. Man, is that an incredible revelation? And here he is, he's saying to the church at Corinth, I received this from the Lord, which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the very night that he was betrayed, he took bread. So Jesus, as we know, there in the upper room, in all the gospels, especially John chapter 13, after they had the supper, remember what Jesus did? He washed the disciples' feet. He knew that his hour was at hand. He knew that Judas was already had left. He took the sop of bread. Satan had entered into his heart. He went off into the night to betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. It would be just a few hours, and we in the Gospel of John teaches that he would see the Roman soldiers and Judas and the temple police with the lanterns and clubs coming to arrest him there in the garden. He finished the supper the very night he was betrayed, he took bread. I hear people say sometimes, well, we celebrate communion exactly like Jesus. And I said, at night? They stow. No, 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, meaning the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And here he comes. He says, I want you to do this now. I don't want you to ever forget what I've done. I don't want you to ever forget me. I want you to do this always in remembrance of me. You see, church, listen, what happened to the church at Corinth is so prevalent in the 21st century church. The church at Corinth turned the incredible, beautiful Lord's Supper, the table of the Lord, it's his table. They turned it into a ritual instead of it being relational. You see, in other words, where there's intimacy. I know with all of my heart, I do not see him, but he is here. He is here with us right this minute. Amen. Especially as we celebrate the table. How inappropriate it would be for me to teach on the Lord's Supper on a Sunday morning and not partake of it. Amen? Now, with all that being said, here this church, again, out of fellowship with each other, out of fellowship with the Lord, and he says, take, eat, this is my body. Now listen, you know and I know that the bread remained bread. It didn't literally become his body. Amen? Okay, it's important that we remember that. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? That word is koinonia, meaning the act of fellowship and sharing. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion or the intimacy, the sharing, the koinonia of the body of Christ? So when we come later this morning to the Lord's table, we are participating in an act of fellowship with the unseen Christ. Amen? He is here. Loved one, listen, never forget, when you partake of communion, you are his guest. You are his sheep, but it's his table. He's not on the cross. He's not in the empty tomb. He is present with us right this minute. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. He He said he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. I do not see the Lord, but I know that he is present. So there in the very upper room in John 13, it's incredible when we read this story. Jesus never complained. He loved those to the uttermost, it says. Took down and washed their feet. You know the whole story. But what's so amazing is that he knew what he was facing. He knew that he was going to the cross. He only had a few hours left to live. And not only that, what blows me so away is that when he broke the bread, it says he gave thanks. He broke the bread representing his body, and he gave thanks to God the Father. He gave thanks that it was broken for you and for me. He gave thanks because he knew the cross was in front of him. It says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the author, the finisher of our faith, and who for the joy set before him, endured the shame of the cross. Jesus died of his own volition. He loves us. He wanted to pay for our sin. Amen. He wanted to redeem mankind. He says, listen, even though the sin of the world awaited him, the entire sin of the world, of mankind, he gave thanks to God the Father. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. I want you to remember my death. We're just like the Corinthians in that they had to look back because Jesus had already risen. He was seated at the right hand of God. We have to look back as well. We have to remember him and all that he did for us. You know, loved one, listen, the cross of Christ is God's proof that he loves us. Remember in Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates, that word means proves, that God proves his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. He paid our sin debt. That's what we're celebrating this morning, is that our sin debt has been completely paid. Jesus became our substitute. He took our place. Oh, loved one, listen. All of our sin, our shame, our guilt, past, present, future, was transferred to him. Do you understand that? Every bit of it was laid upon him. That's why Jesus said in John's Gospel 19:30, when he said, it is finished. It's over with. The final sacrifice. It never has to be repeated again. It says in Hebrews 2:9 that Jesus tasted death. Tasted, meaning he experienced the full depth of death. Whatever death really is, because we won't experience it. Oh, this old body dies, but to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? He tasted death, but listen to me now. Hebrews 2:9 says, he tasted death on the cross. Whatever death really is for everyone. I don't know how you can read that without being just shocked. Not, well, I died for the elect. No, he died for every person. Do you understand that? Let me read what one Greek writer writes about that word. He died for everyone. He says this. He said, the death that Jesus tasted was the curse of sin. What Jesus felt while dying on the cross was the total agony, listen carefully, was the total agony of every soul in hell for all eternity put together, suffered in a few hours. All the punishment for all the sin of all time, that was the depth of his death. Yet he was not guilty. He committed no sin, yet he suffered for all sin. He paid it all, amen? That when we come to his table at the end of this service, man, listen, loved one, that needs to be acknowledged in your heart and in your mind, amen? You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18, it tells us that for Christ also suffered once for sins that he might bring us to God. In other words, to bring us in a right relationship with God. He says in verse 25, now watch what Jesus says here. In the same manner, Paul writes, Jesus also took the cup after supper, and listen to what he said. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Blood always speaks of sacrifice in the Bible, always of death, okay? He says, this do as often as you drink it. And he tells us what to do. Don't forget me. I want you to remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. So when Jesus says, I want you to remember me, I want you to remember the cup that represents the blood of the new covenant. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Did you know that when Jesus ascended into heaven, that he poured out his own blood upon the mercy seat there in the throne room? His own blood he carried. Read the book of Hebrews. Oh, loved one, listen. I'll tell you, when I think about that we were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb, how wonderful our Lord is. He bought us back. He purchased us from the kingdom of darkness. You know, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant based on better promises. Amen. It says in Hebrews 7:22, it says, by much more, Jesus became the surety or a guarantee of a better covenant. And the reason is because it's eternal. He says, when he entered heaven, it says in Hebrews 9:2, he did not enter with the blood of bull and goats. You know, that can never, ever take away our sin, by the way. But he entered heaven with his own blood. He entered the most holy place. And listen to what he did. He entered once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. If you are born from above, if Jesus is truly your Lord, loved one, listen to me. You have been, past tense, forever and ever and ever redeemed. He owns you. He purchased you. And no man will ever be able to take you out of his hands. Amen? No, the Bible tells us there that, you know, Jesus, or rather, if you look through all the sacrifices, talking about the blood, the cup. I mean, think, beginning in the garden, the sacrifice, even when God killed an animal, I'm sure it was a lamb, and he clothed Adam and Eve and sent them out of the garden. That was a blood sacrifice. So imagine sacrifice after sacrifice, lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb, bull and goats over and over and over for all those hundreds, thousands of years. And now we celebrate like the Corinthians celebrate. It's all been narrowed down to that one final cup. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the final sacrifice for all sins. Amen. I thank God for that. Our sin debt is completely paid. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward us who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, and that's incalculable, by the way, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Man, you can't find them. You see, they're truly hidden in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? They're really, God says in Hebrews 10:17, I remember your sins no more. Divine forgetfulness. I don't know how he does it, but I thank God that he does. The Bible tells us clearly in Romans 5:9, it says, much more then, it says, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. The great doctrine of justification. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he made him, God made Jesus. It says, who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, the church today is negligent in teaching the great doctrine of justification, imputation from the pulpit. Those are some of the greatest doctrines that every Christian should have in their heart and understood completely. Listen, whenever we came to Christ, here I am, I'm an unbeliever. I'm on that beach in Florida. You know the story. And there I am messed up in my life. And you know what? The hippie on the beach comes by, he leads me to the Lord. The very moment that I say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, come into my heart, I stood justified by God. The courtroom of heaven, he says, oh, there's a brand new son right there. And the gavel goes down and he says, just as if he had never sinned. Why? Jesus paid for all of my sin. What does he do? Imputation then takes place. He transfers Jesus' perfect righteousness, his sinless record, his spotless record, him keeping the law, doing everything that pleased God the Father. He puts it into my account. He puts it into your account. And when God sees you, he sees you perfect in Christ Jesus. No wonder that Jesus said, don't you want to remember me?
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time for this broadcast. But Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program. So please join us once more, won't you? We want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails today. Be blessed, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.